Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, everybody. I tell you what, we're talking, I'm finishing a series today. I tell you what, the days come so quickly, the Sundays come so quickly, and there's so much to say, and so I've been in a series for about, this is the ninth week. That's usually longer than I ever go. And so we're going to land this plane today, and I'm going to do something to see if it really can be done. I'm going to cover 8 weeks in 5 minutes. Who thinks I can cover 8 weeks in 5 minutes? On your mark, get set, go. Anyway, we've been on a series about Jesus' call to everyone was to follow me. And the first week we talked about you belong before you believe. It's not all or nothing. You know, Jesus' disciples followed him for 2 years before they even declared he was the Son of God. And so if you don't believe all that stuff and all those Old Testament stories and you believe this, I tell you what, follow Jesus. Those people followed Jesus. They believed in reincarnation and they followed him. Number two, you have no idea what hangs in the balance of you taking this next step. When Jesus went to Peter and he says, follow me. Peter had been listening to Jesus for some time and Jesus talking, and Peter had no idea. He had a little fishing company with his family, had no idea of the impact that God would make in Peter's life, first of all, and that Peter would make on the rest of the world. And so you have no idea, and taking the next step. And the reason I'm going through these is to jog a memory, maybe. These are online. You can watch them. You can listen to them. They're on podcast. You can get it there. Number three is where are we going with this thing? If you're going to follow Jesus, where are we going? And it's living fearless. Jesus says they're going to take you and they're going to beat you. They're going to throw you in jail. But don't worry about those things because you're going to know exactly what you want to say in the time, in the moment that you ought to say it. And where Jesus is taking us is to fearless living. Where it's not magic that Christians just live better than everybody else and you don't have traffic jams and you never have problems. No, no, no. In the middle of all that, in the middle when all hell breaks loose, you don't have to be afraid. Because God's going to be with you. And the thought is, what could I do if I were sure that God would be with me? What would you do with your life if you were absolutely sure that God would be with you? Number four, what do followers wear? Obviously, everybody's got to know what to wear. And we're not talking about Christian t-shirts or women wearing long dresses and all that kind of stuff. Paul said, put on compassion. Put on humility. Put on kindness. Put on patience. Put on, and he talked about like clothing. And that's what we're to put on. And the amazing thing about this is that not just, I suppose that's something you would expect to hear in church, but Paul changed the world with this kind of thought. Most of us would be in the business world and say, yeah, Pastor, that's good church talk, but I got a bottom line. We got quotas to meet. We got sales we got to meet. And Jesus, through Paul, said, if you'll treat people with compassion, with mercy, it's going to take you farther, and it took Paul farther down the road. Number five is we're to judge not to judge the believing, but the heathen. How did I say that? We're not to judge the believing, but the heathen. Now it's going to take an extra 15 seconds. We're to judge the believing, not the heathen. The story out of Corinthians, where just crazy things were going on, and the church was just cool with it. And Paul says, what in the world's wrong with you people? You're supposed to take care of matters in the house, and the outside world, don't judge them. Let God do that. That's none of your business, what they do. It's none of my business what your kids do. It's only my business what my kids do. I don't care if your kids do their homework or not. They're not my kids. And so Paul says, don't try to judge everybody else for what they ought to be doing. Judge your own family. Take care of your own family. Number six, Jesus was the full measure of grace and truth. Jesus dealt differently with people. And I tell you what, some people, he said, sell all you have. And for Matthew, the tax collector, he said, just follow me. And Matthew was a crook. He was a cheat. He was a terrible guy. And it looked like Jesus had different standards for different people. And so we've learned about grace and truth. Jesus was the fullness of all that. Some of us are a little more grace and need a little truth, and some of us are way too truth and need a little grace. And so, Paul, we talked about that. Number seven, the priority of the prodigal's father was all about proximity and not performance. And the father was looking for both of his boys to come back. One was angry because the other one had taken off, and the other one felt so unworthy to get into the family again that he didn't even want to go to the party. And so the father says, guys, we need to celebrate because my sons who were gone are now here, and the Father's heart is for proximity. And number eight, we talked, it'll cost you to follow Jesus. However, it'll cost you much more if you don't. The truth of it is, if you're going to follow Jesus, but let me just tell you right up front, the fine print, the devil in the details, it's going to cost you if you're going to follow Jesus. Because Jesus' plan and your will eventually cross. And if you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to have to go his way. Jesus said if you're going to try to save your life, you end up losing it. But if you, for my sake, will give up, will surrender, you'll find that you'll find your life. And then he says, what does it profit a man if he gain everything and then lose his own soul? And so we talked about that. If you remembered some of that kind of stuff, want to go back and hear it. I know not everybody was here every Sunday. Appreciate you that are watching online. Those who are on vacation watching online. Those that are in your pajamas and perhaps whatever that you're watching online. But today we're going to talk about unfollow. I'm going to wrap it up with unfollow. John 6. Let me set up the story. Jesus just fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. I mean, and you know, he blessed it in the miracles, and 5,000 people, 5,000 men, plus women and children, got fed. There were thousands and thousands of people, and it was the incredible miracle. And so when somebody's able to do that and Jesus leaves, go to Capernaum. And by the way, those of us that are going to Israel, we're going to go right to this Capernaum where all this kind of stuff happened. So they followed him to Capernaum, and Jesus takes advantage of a teaching moment. So he's feeding all these people, doing all these works, raising the dead, healing the sick, all this kind of stuff. And so this takes me to John chapter 6, verse 30. Are you there? Okay, so they ask him, what sign will you give us that we may believe you? What will you do? You can imagine. He's fed 5,000, multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And so they're coming. There's 5,000, not in the synagogue, but there's 5,000 people following him. And watch, Fred, watch this. Okay, Jesus, do a little sign. A few weeks ago, for the kids, or I don't know who it was for, we had a juggler come. Anybody remember the juggler came? And he'd gone, dun, 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 and that's what I thought. It sounds a little circusy to me, but everybody seemed to like it, so I'm bringing a juggler to church, and that's fine. Anyway, and so they were waiting to watch the show. Jesus, do a sign. Come on, show us something. And then they get all religious. Look at verse 31. Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. Did you ever know anybody that had a relatively famous father or uncle or relative, and they're always referring to them? Anybody, I've got relatives like that, they don't refer to me, but they refer to my dad, and like he's famous, and I guess he's famous to them. And 60 years ago, he might have been famous, but he's not famous now. Anyway, he said, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, and he gave them bread to eat. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoa, Jesus, this is so offensive. The manna that came out of heaven, the bread of life from heaven, that was Old Testament, and that's what these Jews just relished in. You know, when they wandered 40 years in the desert, and they would eat the manna, and they would say, yes, our fathers ate the manna that God gave. And Jesus said, by the way, I'm that manna. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus starts a course. Did you ever get around people and you knew there were some odds there and you see an argument coming? Anybody ever like that? I mean, maybe you're in one right now, but you see this war going and you say to yourself, if somebody doesn't back it off, we're going to have a fight. Anybody been in those kind of situations? Maybe I'm in them too often. I see them. Anyway, and so Jesus says, I am the bread of life. At this, they begin to grumble. I'm in verse 41. They begin to grumble about him because he said, I'm the bread of life that came down from heaven. Who does he think he is? You know, we refer to the flag as Old Glory. And if I got up on a Sunday and said, by the way, I'm Old Glory, you would say, you arrogant snob, you. You would say something like that. Anyway, and they begin to grumble. Verse 42, and they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Jesus, you didn't come down from heaven. We know your mom and dad. Little discussion over your dad and who he really was, but we know you didn't come from heaven. You were born a baby just like the rest of us. Don't give me this stuff. You can't sell that to me. And so they said, we know who you are. Verse 46, Jesus goes on, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. And then he says, your ancestors. And he could have said our ancestors, but Jesus kind of got a little confronted with, your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which people may eat and not die. And he says it again, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. Jesus, don't say that. You're going to make them mad. this bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Then the Jews begin to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You can feel the tension building. Jesus, de-escalate. Slow it down. Jesus, use your confrontation. Maybe he never made it to class of how to avoid confrontation. Jesus, these people are getting, now they were grumbling, now they're beginning to argue sharply. Verse 53, Jesus said to them, very truly I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. You know, at that point, how many know the parents are escorting the children out? If you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have eternal life. How would you today, for those of you that are new today, welcome, welcome, we're glad you're here. But how would you like if you invited your boss and he finally said yes, or one of your coworkers, they finally said yes, and they come to church and the pastor gets up and says, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have eternal life. How many know it's time to leave the building? Time to have an exit strategy. Who's ever had exit strategies to leave a meeting? Oh, man, I was in a meeting. We were in a meeting one time, and it was awful. And we'd been there a long time. So we had an exit strategy to leave. And Jennifer's friend left first. Then Jennifer left. And I said, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And about the time I was ready to leave, the speaker, it was a lady preacher, not here, at some other place. They said, hey, isn't that Pastor Giese back there? And I thought, busted. She said, Pastor, would you come up on the stage? And I saw Jennifer looking through the little glass in the lobby. And they were giving me a hard time. And so I come up, and then they had me. Anyway, we had a plan, and so Jesus starts talking this way, and you can see the moms taking their children back to children's ministry or whatever, but cheer up, it gets worse. He says, verse 55, for my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. For those of us who've been around a while, you ever hear that? And he said that from the pulpit. Who's ever heard that? You can say what you want, but they said it from the pulpit. And somehow, if you say it from the pulpit, it's just worse. You can say it in the lobby. Well, that's fine. But he said it from the pulpit. And he said it while he's in the synagogue. Jesus, what are you talking about? And I really bet you, I don't know this, but how do you know at that point somebody's going to come and Jesus will be right back? He's stressed. All those things he said, he didn't mean. He's had a rough day. And how do you know the publicist would have been out smoothing things over? We said it last week. Matthew would have been telling some tax collector jokes and just trying to, and they would have taken Jesus aside and said, Jesus, come on. The crowds are with us. There's thousands of people here. And you know the Pharisees are looking to kill you. And the only thing keeping them from arresting you already is the fact that the crowds are here. Now, Jesus, let me just tell you the situation. If we lose the crowds, we never will pay this mortgage. I mean, we never will get to where we want to be. So, Jesus, settle it down. He'll be right back. Jesus doesn't slow down. Look at verse 60. On hearing this, many of his disciples said, whoa, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that the disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus says, does this offend you? You got a situation going on here. And Jesus says, does this offend you? And look at verse 66. From that time on, or from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They hit the unfollow button. They said, whoa, 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 this is, no. And they had their little exit plans. Maybe they were to go into the lobby and sneak out the back way, or they do whatever they're going to do. But from that time on, because this was just too much. This is just too weird. As long as they're all going in, Jesus talking parables and love and blessed are the peacemakers and the cheesemakers and all that, and prayer and all that, love your brother. Everybody's fine with that. Sure. They didn't understand half of it, didn't believe the other half, but they thought it was fine anyway. That when Jesus goes here, and that transition is the time, well, let's take it to number one. During a life transition is when people most likely unfollow Jesus. Say, when do people fall off the boat? When do people jump off the boat? I think it's usually during times of transition. whether you be a child and going from middle school to high school. Middle school, you kind of got that thing wrapped up and you know how to do that, but all of a sudden now you're in high school. From high school to college, because by the time you're in high school and by the time you get to be a senior, you got that all wrapped up, but then you go off to college. And when you get there, nobody's really into this God thing. Nobody's really into this church thing like you were, and there wasn't your mom and dad and bringing you and having lunch after church and going to Denny's or whatever it is you do, and there was none of that there. And the times to unfollow Jesus happened really during transition times. You move from one place to another. You move from Chandler or Gilbert to Texas somewhere. And it's just not the same there. And all your new coworkers, none of them go to church. And not that they're against it. Not that they're anti. It's just indifferent to them. And during life transition, so when Jesus starts talking this way, he's making a change. During relational transitions, maybe when you're ready to leave college and get into the work world, maybe when you're ready to date seriously and maybe get married, and there's this guy and he's just so cute, but he's not a Christian. And Jesus, you're kind of getting in my way. Or you see that gal and she is just so, whoa. And you think to yourself, anybody can be a Christian, but not anybody can be as so as she is. And it seems that Jesus kind of gets in your way of really, you really want to go. You're moving up the corporate ladder, as it were. And, you know, Pastor, I'm sure in church world, it works fine that way. But in real life, this is another story. And Jesus seems to get in the way. Or difficult times. Anybody ever go through a really hard time? When your prayers seem to be useless. And you pray and pray and pray, and things get worse and worse and worse. Now, I know you never would, but I bet, God, why am I even praying? Doesn't feel like you're hearing me anyway. It doesn't seem like it's doing me any good. And you may never verbalize it, but you may say, I'm not sure this is worth it. It's during those kinds of times when things are just too hard. It's too inconvenient. It's not that people are anti. It's not that you all of a sudden found part of the New Testament that's bogus and now you just don't believe. No, you still believe, but you just don't follow. Maybe you get involved in a church situation where there's a mess and somebody runs off with somebody or steals money or does whatever it is all those kind of things do, and you say, whoa, 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 and you hit the unfollow button. It's not that you don't believe. Most people don't walk away from Jesus because they just don't believe it anymore. They walk away because it's just too tough. It's a time of transition. And so they hit the unfollow button. Oh, yeah, no, I'm still going to believe. I'm just not going to follow like that. I'm not going to get into it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? During those kind of transitions. Then look at verse 68. Where's verse 67? I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. I need to follow my notes so I don't get ahead of myself. So Jesus says, you guys want to leave too? You guys want to leave too? And how many of you know you can't lie to Jesus because he knows what you're thinking? If you think a question, he'll answer it. So Jesus says in verse 67, you guys want to leave too? Well, kind of. This is tough. And then Simon Peter answers this incredibly smart thing. Look what he says. Simon Peter answered him and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He said, Lord, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Which takes me to number two. The primary question you must answer, if not Jesus, who? If not Christianity, what? If you're not going to follow Jesus, who are you going to follow? I think you better know where you're going to land before you jump. No, it just kind of worked out. People do this all the time, and they jump thinking they're going to land on solid rock, and they land in quicksand. They land on a slippery slope. They land in a situation that makes things worse than they were. Some people never consider the end game. Never consider, where's this path going to take me? Remember a couple years ago maybe, we talked about the path. The intention it's the path that directs the destination, not the intention. I know a lot of people intend to do well, but the path that they're on takes them to destruction. And it's not your intentions that really, really matter. It's the path that you're on. And Peter, in his thought process, he says, Lord, where are we going to go? No, I don't like this situation. And the crowds are beginning to boil. And you keep talking about dying, and we're going to Jerusalem not long from now. And I don't know how this thing's going to work out. But Lord, what else am I going to do? See, I think that's considering the end game. Well, it'll all work out. Sometimes it doesn't. That old song, you better look before you leap, still waters run deep. And so Peter says, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? See, the realities are, guys, we've been invited into the story of God. To a story that's bigger than your life. It's bigger than that hard time you're facing right now. Bigger than that trial that you just don't know the answer. Just because I don't know the answer doesn't mean that there isn't an answer. It just means that I don't know it. Some of you sit through college and a professor who's smarter than you are, granted, takes the New Testament, takes things of the Spirit, and a whole culture just discards it all. And because you don't have an answer, sitting in a chair as a freshman in English 101, because you don't have an answer doesn't mean that there aren't answers. I dealt with people in situations, and I did not know what to say. But that doesn't mean there's not an answer there somewhere. It means that I just don't know it. And I'm not going to change whom I'm following because I don't have every answer that needs to be spelled out. I think some things you won't know this side of heaven. These questions don't dominate my mind, don't dominate my life, because I've just learned to live with questions. I don't understand that. I don't see that. But the truth is, who are you going to follow? He said, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Truth it is, rather die for something than live for nothing. Remember we said last week that my glory is not worth living for, neither is yours. So let me throw it out to you. What would be so good that it's worth unfollowing Jesus for? That next level? That six-figure income? The prestige, the honor, the dignity that all these people, all your peers would give you? Maybe. Is that worth the unfollow button? Is that worth your soul? That you could be right and you could try and prove mom and daddy either right or wrong. You'll never be worth anything, and so people live with that kind of a cloud over their head. If not Jesus, who? If not Christianity, what? Verse 69, and Peter finishes it off with this, and we've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. He said, Lord, I don't understand all this stuff going on, but we've come to believe and to know that you have the words of eternal life and that you're the Holy One from God. There's something here that we don't understand. Anybody else offering you eternal life? Perhaps a fat promotion? Perhaps a whatever it would be? Peter says, nobody's talking to us about eternal life. Peter says, you know, I could go home. I could go back and reacquaint with my family and get back into the fishing business and get into that thing again and maybe raise kids and maybe live long enough to see my grandkids. But when that's up, it's over. And he said, God, you've invited us into the very story of God. You've offered us something that nobody else is talking to us about. Because your glory, mine, my legacy, my reputation, my sense is not worth giving my life to. Because that ends when I do, basically. Maybe live 5 years longer than I am. 10 to those who really knew me. But after that, but it's over. And Peter says, we've come to know that there's something more here than just keeping the crowds happy, keeping the Philistines, the Pharisees at bay. There's more cooking here than just that. There's eternal consequence. Number three, transition, temptation, and trouble create questions. Considering your options creates clarity. What are your options? You really going to leave him because he leaves his socks on the floor? You really going to go start another life with her? You really going to do that? And what are you going to tell your children, your grandchildren? This will be the story of your life, bud. This will be the story of your life. That either you said no to you and yes to Jesus, or I could not just say no to me. I know sometimes the pain gets long. Feels like it's been there for a long time. Feels like we're abandoned, but that doesn't mean that we are. Feels like we're helpless, but that doesn't mean that we are. See, I think if you don't have answer to these tough questions, I don't think you ought to walk. I don't think you ought to hit the unfollow button. Those questions will be there a while, and these situations will be there for a while. But if you unfollow, I think you'll wish that you could come back to this point today, or whatever day you hit the unfollow button. These people turned and left the Lord that day. This is weird. Eat your flesh, drink your blood. We don't understand this. That would be, that's tough talk. Come on. We've read this and we do communion. We understand the body of Christ and all that kind of stuff. But this would be weird to hear. And all those people that hit the unfollow button, you know what happened to them? Neither do I. They just left. The dollars to donuts, guys, I'll bet you, a few weeks later, on the other side, the death, burial, and it's a resurrected Christ, when Jerusalem was filled with whoa, this guy's alive, and Jesus was showing himself to hundreds of people at a time. It wasn't just a conspiracy or some whisper. No, Jesus was out walking around. People who had died had risen from the dead, and I wonder if those people at that point wished they'd gone back and said, I wish I hadn't unfollowed. What was I thinking? No, I didn't understand, eat my flesh, drink my blood. That was weird to me. I didn't get that, but they cannot go back. You can't go back. You mean you can never come back to Jesus? No, you come back to Jesus, but you miss that season of your life. When in your 20s, things are just too tough, and Jesus is so good, and you hit the unfollow button, because Jesus seems to get your way. Yeah, you can come back, but you come back with baggage. You come back with issues. Jesus takes you back from your 20s to your 40s, but you've lost the season of your life, might be a decade or two. Do people come back to Christ? Yes, they do. Jesus' arms are open wide, and he's not mad, he's not judging, he's not condemning, but you lose part of your life. And these guys had left that day and decided not to follow him because this is just too weird. I don't understand everything happening. They never could get that time back again. Truth it is, these guys were probably the 3,000 and 5,000 that got saved on the day of Pentecost. Jesus planted seed all over that area. So day of Pentecost comes, the Holy Spirit is outpoured. Where did these 3,000 that got saved that day, another 5,000, where did they come? These are these people. But I would have hated to unfollow because things are tough. Anytime you accomplish anything, anytime you accomplish a relationship, a business, a ministry, anything, there will be times when it's just so hard, it's tough. The pain gets to be tough. But if in those times you don't learn to press through the pain and follow him anyway, then you never see and get to go through that time of the death, burial, and then incredible resurrection. That's why a lot of people never do make it. Oh, they go to heaven. I'm not talking about losing your soul, going to hell forever. I'm not talking that kind of stuff. You have been called into something that is far more significant than you. Salvation is free. Doesn't cost you anything. But if you're going to follow, it'll cost you something. I don't know what it's going to cost you. We're all different. We're coming from different places. God knows where you're at. God knows your DNA, how you're wired. He knows your family of origin. He knows your history. He knows the situation, the people that have helped you, the people that have harmed you. And he knows you intimately right now. And he is not asking you to do something you cannot do. He is asking you to do something that you can do, and that's to follow him. Not asking you to be perfect. Not asking you to understand things that are beyond your understanding. Maybe you're like me and just feel like I'm just not that bright. He's not asking you to do that. He's asking you to follow him. And so I would beg you, before you decide to unfollow, those of you watching online, before you decide to hit that unfollow button, you better know where you're going to. Who are you going to follow? If not Jesus, who? If not Christianity, what? You're going to follow a culture that makes the rules as we go? You're going to follow a lifestyle that seems to be a little easier to deal with? See, I think it costs you to follow Jesus, but it costs you more not to. Can you start over? Yes, yes. It seems it would be a shame to start over at 60 when you started over at 20, get out of high school, college, whatever. Jesus take you back? Of course he does. So before you hit that unfollow button, you better know what you're jumping to. And I think understanding these options clarifies, whoa, I got questions, Lord, and this is tough. He's a tough one to live with. She's a tough one to live with. This is a tough culture, and I'm the only one that seems to know anything about the Bible or God or anybody. Nobody else, they're not fighting you. They just don't care. You have been called. You have been invited into something that is far more significant than you. I wish I'd have known that as a younger man. That what we do makes a difference. Who we are makes a difference. And the ripple effects goes on and on and on. Because God has invited you to be part of his story. Something that is eternal. Peter had no idea that someday we all go to Rome and visit that place named after him. No idea what hangs in the balance of you not unfollowing. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, even though we stumble, even though we fall, even though we don't follow in a straight line, Lord, we follow. To the best of our ability, Lord, we follow. Lord, we've processed, if not you, then who? If not this, then what? And Lord, the realities are we don't want to go any other place but here. So Lord, I pray courage for these your people. Strength for these your people. Grace to help them. I pray it in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Scripture this morning is taken from Jeremiah 29. It says, "For thus says the Lord, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from your captivity." God's promise to his people. Next week we've got going to do a 2-week series. It's 4th of July weekend. I know it's 2nd of July. And I want to talk about the conscience of America. I don't talk about these things very often, but I feel impressed and prompted to spend the next couple weeks. Really do appreciate you all being here today. tuning in online. Thank you very much. If you can't make it, tune in, lifecommunityaz.com. Watch the service live streamed, and you can join us that way, but it's best to be here. God bless you. Love one another and consider yourselves dismissed. We'll see you later.